This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that.
I'm Seth Peterson.
I am Debbie Hedren.
I'm Rhonda Schwartz.
I'm Josh Roberts.
This is Jesslyn Gilson.
Hello, I'm Victor Webb.
Hi, this is Charlotte Ross.
Hi, this is Ed Begley Jr.
What's up, you guys? This is AJ from the Backstreet Boys.
Hi, this is Shannon Elizabeth, and you're listening to Talking Pets.
Talking Pets.
And you're listening to Talking Pets.
Talking Pets.
Talking Pets.
With John Patch.
John Patch.
You're listening to Talking Pets with John Patch.
Hello, America, and welcome to Talkin' Pets with your host, John Patch. Join John and his expert guests with all of your pet questions, concerns, comments, and stories. Now it's time for Talkin' Pets with your host, John Patch.
And welcome to Talkin' Pets, heard coast to coast on your favorite radio station. This is Talkin' Pets, and I'm John Patch. Joining us is...
Well, hello there. This is Jalen Sidlow from Celestial Custom Dog Services.
Here to answer your training questions, your behavior questions about your pets at 844-305-7800. When you call into that number, you'll speak with the lovely Jayla, and she will put you on the air with us. 844-305-7800. The show is produced here at the farm by...
Devin Leach.
Thank you, Devin. Watch us on Facebook Live at Talkin' Pets Radio. This is... Talking Pets.
Do you know about chickens? I think you do. I am a chicken. We are chickens. Chickens. One, two, three chickens. Dance with me, chickens. Don't you love to be chickens? Of course you do. Beaks pointy. Feet also pointy. Feathers fluffy, fluffy. Chickens.
Chickens that are tired.
Dozy chickens.
Chickens that are cold.
Frozen chickens.
Chickens having pictures taken.
Posing chickens. Looking good.
Chickens.
Not a goose. No, not me. Not an ostrich, that can't be. Flamingo? No, I don't think so. We are chickens, now let's wing it, baby. Fine feathers flapping chickens. Look what's happening, chickens. Eggs are cracking, chickens.
Crack, crack.
Baby chicks, those eggs aren't decorations. It's
you know, I gotta wonder if somebody's turning the radio dial and they hear this chicken song. It's kind of catchy. But,
it's
you know,
funny.
Jilly, I wanted to mention my chickens. So I did get some more chickens, and I have a problem, Jilly.
Uh-oh. What's the problem, dear?
I think one of them is a dude.
Oh.
Yep. So my neighbors next door got a bunch of them, more than I do, and they raised mine, like four of them for me, as little chicks. And when they were big enough to put in with the other chickens I have, I socialized them with them. And in the beginning, it was a little rough, but they all made out okay. And all of a sudden, as they got older, one's looking a little bit Godzilla-ish. That chicken stands pretty tall. And I haven't heard anything, but my neighbors have the same exact chicken. And now they have to get rid of it because it's doing the 6:30 a.m. cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yep. Well, you know, so, Dorothy was really big, your Rhode Island Red. But...
I could tell Dorothy was a female, though. I mean, you know, just by her head and everything. But this one's looking kind of like a male. He hasn't cock-a-doodled yet, but, you know, in certain counties you're not allowed to, you know, you can have chickens, and more over the country they've allowed chickens, but not roosters because...
Yeah, no roosters in the city limits.
Right, and they're kind of obnoxious to neighbors. So,
you think?
As soon as I hear him do the cock-a-doodle, he's going out to a friend's 16-acre farm, and he's going to have to say goodbye to his mates there in the chicken coop. So,
oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I feel bad though. He's really, if it is a he, he's. I mean, the females kind of look just like the males, but the males of this type have a redder. Head, you know, the I'm trying to, the flap or whatever, I'm trying to think of the right word. But anyway, I mean, it's, most females will have like a pinkish crown. There you go. And, but the males of this species will have like a redder one, and his is getting pretty dark.
Well, as long as he has some place to go, you know, that's great.
Yeah,
you
know, I just hope nobody, like, eats him.
Well.
I mean, we all, many of
it's kind of chicken. Inevitable, but.
I don't know. I mean, all my chickens, they died and I buried them. And I just, I could never consider eating them. But, so they've been my egg layers. So you're missing out on the eggs.
Oh, I have so many friends that have chickens, and I get fresh eggs all the time, but they're not as pretty as yours. Your eggs were I love the little blue speckled ones that were so tiny.
I've never had any complaints about my eggs. So, I mean, there's a trick to find out if your eggs are healthy or not. So you take your eggs and you put them in a cup of water. If the egg sinks, it's healthy to eat.
Yes.
If it floats, it's a bad egg. So don't eat that egg.
Okay.
Just throw it out. But I know, and it's kind of cool. My niece won't eat the eggs because she doesn't like the fact that they don't come from a store. I was like, that means they're healthier. They don't
have
all the chemicals and everything else
in
them that store eggs have. And plus, you don't got to pay for them. So, you know, hey.
Exactly. And eggs are so expensive now, my goodness.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And the other thing, too, is like they really are not that expensive to take care of. I mean, they'll eat slop if you put it out there for them, literally. I've fed them pizza and all kinds of stuff, as well as their strawberries. And they're spoiled, strawberries and blueberries and apples I cut up and everything like that. They go crazy for it all. And they get their regular meal as well.
You can feed them back their own eggshells, too. That's really good for them.
Yeah, but then I don't want them to start cracking their own eggs. And one started doing that.
Yeah.
She thought, if I'm getting eggs fed to me, then I'll just sit on them and then squash them and eat my egg up. And they have. So you got to be very careful of that. But once again, you're listening to Talkin' Pets.
Hi, I'm Linda Blair, and you're listening to Talkin' Pets with my favorite fella, John Patch.
That's Linda. And by the way, I wanted to, our hearts go out to everybody on the West Coast because they're getting hit pretty hard. And now it's not only going to be in California, but also in Nevada and Arizona. And more than anything with the high winds and stuff like that, but there's going to be some major flooding. And Linda's experiencing it already. She has a preserve out there called Linda Blair World Heart. And what they do is they bring in dogs that can't find homes. They take care of them until they can either train them or get a new owner for them. And they live their life out there at her preserve, and she's out on the outskirts of Los Angeles, and she's in a major flooding area, and it's been very dry out there, so if you know how that works, I mean, it's just that water is going to go everywhere. So if you can make a donation to Linda, we'd appreciate it. She's been texting me during the show. It's lindablairworldheart.org, and if you can, help her out. And I know Tippy, my friend Tippy Hedren, her daughter is Melanie Griffith, and her granddaughter is Dakota Johnson. But she also has a preserve out there in the canyons, but she's got tigers and lions, and it's called Shambhala.org if you want to check it out. But I spend many times with both of them, and they definitely could use your help. So even a dollar helps if you can make a donation. Please do. LindaBlairWorldHeart.org. And you can check out Shambhala.org as well. But once again, you're listening to Talkin' Pets, and we want to talk with you. So the lines are open, 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800. That's the number to call, so we're open to your training questions, your behavior questions. If you've got comments or stories, we're open to that as well. So pick up the phone and give us a call, and let's talk about your pets. 844-305-7800. Don't forget you can watch us on Facebook Live at Talkin' Pets Radio. I'm John Patch.
I'm Jalen Sidlow.
I'm Devin Leach.
And this is Talkin' Pets.
But here's my number. So call me, baby. It's hard to look right at your baby. But here's my number. So call me, baby. Hey, I just met you. take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease, feels more like an ancient method of biblical punishment than a modern medical concern. After all, it's been curable for nearly 80 years. But despite its age-old connotation, the bacterium remains a real and very present danger, with some 200,000 people in 120 countries reporting the telltale signs of the disease, chiefly skin lesions, lumps, ulcers, and loss of sensation. And the United States is a member of that unenviable list. In the United States, there are about 150 reported cases of leprosy every year, with as many of the cases being related to persons traveling to countries where the disease is endemic. But a new case reported publicly this week by the CDC shows that the southeastern U.S., and especially central Florida, has become a particular hotspot for the disease. The number of reported cases has more than doubled in the southeastern states over the last decade. Florida has among the top reporting states. Central Florida, in particular, accounted for 81% of cases reported in Florida and almost one-fifth of nationally reported cases. But one of the more concerning statistics is that in 34% of the reported cases, the disease is thought to have been acquired locally. This means that leprosy could have very well become an endemic disease in Central Florida. The researchers note that the disease is likely spread through prolonged human-to-human contact via droplets, but it could also possibly be spread through zootopic methods, animal-to-human contact, as some native nine-banded armadillos contain the same leprosy strains. Concerningly, this news arrives only a few months after the CDC identified cases of locally acquired malaria in Texas, and once again in Florida. But malaria and leprosy are considered tropical and subtropical diseases, so Florida is a likely candidate to host such troublesome infections. Although the resurgence of the disease in the U.S. is definitely bad news, leprosy isn't as devastating as those ancient biblical reports may have you believe. For one, leprosy is in ancient texts likely isn't a description of modern Hansen's disease. Also, 95% of people are naturally immune to the disease, meaning only a very small subset of people can be infected with the bacteria in the first place. Finally, the disease is relatively easy to treat with a multi-drug therapy, and once someone starts treatment, they can no longer spread it to others. Visit TalkingPets.com for more news and join our Facebook family. Reporting for Talking Pets, I'm Jalyn Sidlow.
Leprosy. My doctor says that's what is a...
In St. George, South Carolina, a child reported to be just 9 years of age is accused of intentionally shooting animals at a South Carolina animal sanctuary, killing one goat, two horses, and injuring two other horses. The deadly incident happened at the Shangri-La Animal Sanctuary in Dorchester County on July 29th. On July 30th, the sanctuary made a public statement about the cruel incident, writing, "I'm sharing this here too. For those of you who haven't heard, someone in our neighborhood has attacked the sanctuary and shot four horses and a goat. One horse, a 30-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred, was fatally injured. Another horse here lost an eye. The other two horses have been severely injured. Since the July 30th post, one of the injured horses had to be euthanized because of the severity of her injuries. earlier this week, the sanctuary said that the 3-year-old horse had died, explaining, "Run free again, sweet girl. We did everything humanely possible to save you, but failed. We will get justice for you, Charlotte, Pepsi, and Millie." Huck's downtown girl, aka Hooker, was humanely euthanized at the vet clinic last night due to severe complications from her injuries to her shoulder. Basically, she dislocated the joint in her foreleg near her withers due to the impact and trauma of being shot. A large social media page shared additional details about the cruelty case, claiming that the shooter is not being charged. The shooter is a 9-year-old neighborhood boy, was found to be using these animals as target practice. Dorchester County Sheriff's Office has declined to press charges against the grandparents, guardians of the boy. The fact that this child obtained and used a weapon against defenseless animals that were in their pastures and the blatant cruelty to animals being dismissed is inexcusable. People concerned about the lack of charges against the shooter are asked to contact the local authorities. DCSO Sheriff Elsie Knight, 212 Deming Way in Somerville, South Carolina, 29483. If you wish to call them, 843-832-0300. Visit TalkinPets.com for more news and join our Facebook family at Talkin' Pets Radio. I'm John Patch.
Why should I be singing about bees? Cruel, cruel, cruel world. Why would you do this to me? Cruel, cruel, cruel world. Why would we put this on me?
And again, you're listening to Talkin' Pets. Pick up the phone and give us a call. That trivia question is out there. Scientists can estimate how old a whale is by examining its earwax. Is that true or false? Call and you can win a prize. 844-305-7800. Jilly, on that story of the 9-year-old, there's just a lot with that story. I mean, he's too young to in prison. And put in jail. But the thing that scares me is when you have a young child like that that blatantly starts shooting animals and killing animals, I just kind of wonder where it comes from. Do you agree on that?
Well, what it's going to lead to is the worst, especially if he only gets a slap on the hand.
Right.
I think that they should be taking this very, very seriously. I think he needs to be psychologically analyzed, because this could just be the beginning of his murdering stages. And what kind of upbringing does he have that would possess him to shoot at domesticated animals in a field? This is where everything goes awry. And
yeah.
I think it's ridiculous, and it should... I'm not saying he needs to serve time, but he needs to be psychologically evaluated and then maybe have to do a bunch of community service and for like years until.
But the thing that gets me, though, is that, you know, the child is 9. Does that child really even know better? And that's why I kind of wonder on the history, though. Like, the grandparents are raising the child, apparently. So apparently the kid does not have parents. But the grandparents, according to the story, seem to be raising him. Does the kid hunt? I mean, I think 9, I don't know if you can hunt at 9. I was 11 when I started.
Yep.
But so maybe that kid is used to carrying a gun. Apparently must be, mm-hmm. because he hit all these animals with whatever type of gun it was. And apparently to kill the animal, it had to be some type of a powerful rifle. It couldn't have been anything like a BB gun or anything like that. But... So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into the story and everything else, but, I mean, I agree with the psychological evaluation on the child, because we mm-hmm. both know, we all know that, you know, that listen to this show and that, you know about animals and people that abuse animals, whether at a young age as a child or older, they eventually become, and not all, but a good percentage, eventually grow up to be a serial killer.
Right, or abusive to other people, regardless of whether they're men or women.
Correct.
And if his grandparents are raising him, what psychological problems did the parents have? You know, and are they totally, are the grandparents, you know, just raising him just because he's there? You know, there's so much, it takes a professional to deal with something like this, I believe. Yeah. And if he gets a slap on the hand, it's going to be awful. I actually wrote an email today after I read that about it to send to the
South
police
Carolina,
department there.
Because
it's just, I mean, and there are certain places, and I live in Tennessee, so there are certain places in the Carolinas and Tennessee and Kentucky and Virginia and all that where people, it doesn't bother them so much because they grow up hunting, but at 9 years old, you definitely know right from wrong. So,
right.
To me,
that's the difference. And you said it. It's a domesticated animal. It's not a deer or a rabbit or something that you may hunt for food. Hopefully, you're not doing it for sport. You're actually doing it for food and within the season that you're supposed to. So it's a loaded story right there with a 9-year-old kid, but hopefully in the end everything comes out fine for the
child. And it wasn't just one animal. It was several animals at one time, and that is just
It doesn't look good.
So bad.
Doesn't look good. If you have a question or a comment on that as well, if you have something to say on it, we'd love to hear it. 844-305-7800. 844-305-7800. That true or false trivia question is out there. Scientists can estimate how old a whale is by examining its earwax. Is that true or is that false? 844-305-7800. 844-305-7800. Jilly, with you and the business of pet sitting is a huge industry now. Years ago when it started out, even years ago, I remember doing the first interview nationally on it, and people were making, you know, a yearly income of $18,000 a year. We've reported in some instances where people are almost making six figures in pet sitting. It's such a huge business now, but people that are doing pet sitting, if they're not part of an organization or whatever, you do believe that they should be insured and bonded, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you know, if you're bringing them into your home and you have animals, you need to make sure that, you know, and if you have, you know, that your children are protected, you know, and your animals are protected, and your insurance will cover you if something happens. But if you're staying in somebody else's home, you need to be licensed and bonded yourself so that if something was to happen when you were in that home, that you're covered for it. I no longer board. It's just because my male has gotten too old and too ornery, but I house sit. So I had to, you know, start a whole new set of rules here in Tennessee. But, you know, you should be very thorough. Don't be silly. Don't be stupid.
And you want to meet the pet before you start taking care of the pet, correct? With the mom and dad there, with the pet parents.
Absolutely. You want to meet all the animals that are in the household that you have to take care of. I've had people forget to tell me that there was rabbits upstairs or guinea pigs or something somewhere, and they didn't lose them, but you know, they went 4 or 5 days without food because I was told you don't have to go upstairs. Well, I didn't know that there was an animal up there, and I never went back to work for those people again. I'm just like, you don't do stuff like that.
Yeah,
very thorough. Take it out of your own time to go visit and have your own personal orientation with the family, the animals that are involved, and everything that is needed so that you know exactly everything that's going to happen. Find out where the lights are. Find out what bathroom you're allowed to use. Find out exactly, you know, the right increments of food, etc. Where it's safe to walk the animals, or can you take them to the park, etc. There's, you know,
do your homework.
You want them to live the same life while their parents are away with you. That's why how you become a very good sitter.
Well, once again, you're listening to Talkin' Pets. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. But give us a call, 844-305-7800.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food. Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
The American Kennel Club, AKC, a not-for-profit organization, the world's largest purebred dog registry and leading advocate for dogs, is excited to announce that the AKC Agility Premier Cup, presented by U-Move, is set to premiere on ESPN on Sunday, August 20th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. This year's AKC Agility Premier Cup took place on July 8th at the historic Crew Stadium in Columbus, Ohio, the first stadium built for a Major League Soccer team in the United States. 100 of the top agility teams in the country gathered to compete in 5 height classes, 8 inches, 12 inches, 16, 20, and 24, for $10,000 in prize money. Competitors include past AKC National Agility Champions, AKC Agility Invitational winners, and members of the AKC World Agility Team. Agility is a fast-paced, thrilling event, and ESPN viewers are sure to be captivated by these stellar canine-slash-handler teams, said Gina DiNardo, AKC secretary. We're glad to be able to introduce a new audience to the wonder of dog sports. The broadcast will be hosted by noted sportscaster Caroline Mano, agility analyst Terry Simmons, and ESPN's Phil Murphy. Visit Talking Pets for more news and join our Facebook family at Talking Pets Radio. Reporting, I'm Devin Leach.
Listening to Talkin' Pets, we want to talk with you. Pick up the phone and give us a call, 844-305-7800. By the way, that trivia question is still out there. Somebody needs to answer it. You can win a prize for you or your pet. 844-305-7800. Scientists can estimate how old a whale is by examining its earwax. True or false? 844-305-7800. Take a shot. But Jilly, we were talking about pet sitters and all, and one good thing to do too is references, correct?
Yes. Even when I left Florida to move up here, I have such a good ground of great people, and every single one of them wrote a letter of reference for me, which, you know, I have in a folder that I can show people up here. And a lot of them said, you know, give them my number if they need to call. I'd be happy to talk to them because we don't know what we're going to do without you now, Jilly. And I'm like, oh, thanks. That's great. And it's kind of slow starting up here, but people come to the mountains to live. They don't come to the mountains to escape. So not so many people travel from here. But I've got some pretty good jobs this summer. During the winter, nobody goes anywhere. So in the winter, I just sit back and chill and play in the snow with my Rottweilers. But references but are great.
I understand, too, with pet sitters that, and you probably have them, I would imagine, but I know a lot of them have contracts.
Yes. I've gone through several different contracts. And they've gotten shorter and shorter as the years have gone by, where you can condense them down, because some of them just, people didn't even want to take the time to read through them, because, I mean, you can copy them off the internet, you know, and, or get them from different people, but sometimes it's like people get worried that they're signing some huge legal thing. But it does protect you. So I think it's important to have something written, you know, that exchange between the families. Yeah, and then you should always make sure as well that you have the pets, the vet that they see regularly. So if there was a problem,
any emergency service,
emergency that, you know, and you say, I will take the vet there, and usually people will have a credit card on file to take care of things. I've taken the care of things out of my own pocket, and everybody's always paid me back. But you know, it's really important to really know the animal backwards and forwards, because especially if it's an elderly animal.
You know, another thing too is that I wanted to say was that I conduct my life and my business with honesty and integrity, and
yes,
that's very much needed in pet sitting, because if you're not going to be honest with the pet parent about maybe the behaviors or the situations or anything involved whatsoever, then it's not going to get a good outcome, correct?
Exactly. And if you're uncomfortable with the animal, don't be afraid to say, I'm sorry, it's not a good match for me. You know, rather than you go in there and you're nervous about something and then you get bit. You know, you have to look out for your clients, but you have to look out for yourself. So, you know, don't be afraid to stand up for yourself, you know, and be comfortable with your situation before you say, yes, I will take the job. I think it's really important.
Now, and you covered the veterinarian and emergency services. That's extremely important to have, just in case if something does go wrong.
Absolutely, or an emergency contact with the family should they're detained, perhaps, coming back, canceled flights, or somebody gets sick in another country. That doesn't mean, I mean, you're hired from this one date to the next date. You're not expected to stay there for 2 months. Unless they call you and arrange something with you. But yeah, you should always have a backup phone number too, especially living in Florida with the storms and everything coming in. You need to know where you're supposed to take the animal, should you be evacuated, etc.
Yeah, and that goes with anything from an earthquake,
yes,
to a sinkhole, to a hurricane, to a tornado.
Fires. Yep.
Fires have been so extreme around the world, and just in this country alone. You know, the situations there is that, you know, not even just for pet sitters or pet sitting, you want to always have a plan for you and your pets. Sometimes you may not have enough time, but if you do have a plan in mind and set in place, that will give you a little bit more time to do what you need to do, which would most likely be flee. So,
yes,
you know, do the right thing and make sure that you not only take care of yourself, but your pets as well. Hey, thanks for joining us. Again, if anybody, World Heart, basically with Linda Blair, her organization, if you can actually help her out, they're getting hit right now with the storms out there in California, and she's on the outskirts of L.A. Her organization, LindaBlairWorldHeart.org, you can hit it there and even donate a dollar. Please do. Shambhala.org is Tippi Hedren's, and she's out there in California, too, taking care of the big cats. From myself, John Patch.
And Jalyn Sidlow.
I'm Devin Leach.
We say goodbye for this hour. Thanks for joining us. Spay and neuter your pets and help control the pet population. If you're looking to bring a pet home, please go to your local shelter or rescue and get one there. Bye for now. Be
safe.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.